Hello, and welcome back to the Nursing School Week by Week podcast. I'm your host, Melanie, and today I'm going to be talking about chronic kidney disease. So when a patient has a problem with their kidneys, it can either be an acute problem or a chronic problem. So it could be acute kidney injury, which can often be reversed and fixed, or it could be chronic kidney disease, and that is not reversible. With chronic kidney disease, they'll eventually need dialysis or a kidney transplant. So chronic kidney disease is an irreversible loss of kidney function that happens slowly over time. It's often called a silent disease because it usually presents with no symptoms at first. We can say that a person has chronic kidney disease once their glomerular filtration rate, or GFR, is less than 60 mL per minute. And I'll talk more about the GFR here in a little bit, but your GFR should normally be over 90 mL per minute. So where are the kidneys in the body? We have two kidneys, and they can be found underneath the rib cage, one on each side of the spine. And the kidneys are really important. They do a lot of things for us. They regulate our acid-base balance. They get rid of waste products. They regulate fluid and electrolyte balance. And they regulate blood pressure with the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system. And the kidneys also secrete something called erythropoietin. And that's a hormone that lets the bone marrow know that it needs to start making more red blood cells. And the kidneys also make vitamin D, which helps in the absorption of calcium. Now, there's a big push in the medical field right now to reduce the cases of chronic kidney disease, partly because it costs so much to treat. You know, money talks, especially with big companies like hospitals. And about 25% of the Medicare budget is taken up by paying for people to get their dialysis treatments and kidney transplants. And of course, kidney transplants are not cheap, obviously. So with chronic kidney disease, we're going to see a decreased ability of the kidneys to filter waste products from the blood. What are some signs and symptoms of chronic kidney disease? The kidneys failing actually affects every body system. So some early signs and symptoms that we're going to see are fatigue. The patients are going to be tired. We can see protein in the urine. Normally, protein and blood cells would be too large to be filtered out through the kidneys. But when the kidneys aren't filtering correctly, the albumin and the red blood cells can end up in the urine. We may see neuropathy or bone disorders and definitely hypertension. There are a couple of reasons why we see hypertension in chronic kidney disease, and it's that the GFR, or the glomerular filtration rate, is low, so the glomerulus isn't filtering much water at all. And this makes the kidneys release renin. Remember that whole renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system? The kidneys think that the blood pressure is low since the glomerulus isn't filtering much water, so they release renin to increase the blood pressure. But this is bad because the patient already has hypertension just due to the increased fluid volume they've got going on due to their low GFR. So it's this vicious cycle that we have to try to stop. And some late signs and symptoms of chronic kidney disease are metabolic acidosis. So that's a pH below 7.35. And this is because of all the waste products that are accumulating in the blood. So we may see the patient doing those Kussmaul respirations, those rapid deep breaths. Also, in the late stage of chronic kidney disease, we're going to see a lot of edema since the patient is losing that albumin protein that regulates oncotic pressure. This means the fluids are going to leak out into the tissue, causing swelling. We may see cardiac arrhythmias also due to an imbalance in electrolytes. And because they're losing blood in their urine and the kidneys aren't making erythropoietin like they normally would, we could see the patient develop anemia. And obviously the kidneys aren't making enough urine, so we're going to see oliguria. And it's called oliguria anytime there's less than 400 mL of urine in a 24-hour period. So we might see uremia. That's a buildup of the waste product urea in the blood. This can cause mental status changes and itchy skin or pruritus. Sometimes the uremia will even show up on their skin as a white frost, and this is called uremic frost. The white frost that shows up on the skin is actually urea crystals that have been deposited on the skin. And remember, urea is a waste product formed when the body breaks down proteins. So if the patient has uremia, they definitely need to be put on a low-protein diet to reduce the amount of urea that's created. Another huge thing that we're going to see with chronic kidney disease patients is hypertension. And this is mainly because of the hypervolemia that's going on since you're not getting rid of fluids. You're retaining those fluids, and that's leading to hypervolemia, which causes hypertension. And the kidney is not getting rid of electrolytes like it should, so the electrolytes are going to be high. Sodium could be over 145, phosphorus over 4.5, magnesium over 2.5, and the biggie, potassium, could be over 5.0. We want to especially watch that potassium because if it gets too high, it could cause cardiac arrhythmias and possibly a heart attack. The one electrolyte that will be low is calcium. Remember, phosphorus and calcium have an inverse relationship. So since our phosphorus is high, the calcium is going to be low, or less than 8.5. And this will lead to mineral and bone disorders like osteoporosis. So the phosphate and calcium will always be opposite of each other. There are 5 stages of chronic kidney disease, and this might show up on your test, so it's good to know. These stages are defined by the glomerular filtration rate. Stage 1 is when the GFR is still above 90, which normal GFR is above 90. So the kidneys are still doing their job, but we're going to start seeing some protein in the urine, or proteinuria. Stage 2 is when the GFR is between 60 and 89 mL per minute. Stage 3, the GFR is 30 to 59 mL per minute. And stage 4, the GFR is 15 to 29. And we're also going to start seeing a severe loss of renal function here in stage 4. And in stage 5 is end-stage renal disease. This is when the GFR is less than 15 mL per minute. So anything less than 15 mL per minute is considered end-stage renal disease. If the patient is in stage 5, they'll definitely be getting dialysis until they can hopefully get a kidney transplant. So the way that I remember each of those stages and the GFR that correlates with each one is stage 1 GFR is greater than 90. Then after that, it goes down by 30 in each stage. So stage 2 starts with 60, which is 30 less than 90. And stage 3 starts with 30, and so on. And that helps me remember the stages. So what are the causes of chronic kidney disease? The number one cause is diabetes, because the high glucose level in a diabetic patient causes damage to the nephrons, which decrease their ability to filter the blood. If you think about it, high glucose in the blood, that sugar makes the blood really thick and sticky, right? It takes a lot of work for the kidneys to filter that thick, syrupy, sticky blood. The second most common cause of chronic kidney disease is hypertension. Hypertension causes too much pressure on the structures of the kidneys, and over time it makes the kidneys fail because that's just too much pressure to sustain over a long time. Some other causes are acute kidney injury that goes untreated, glomerulonephritis, and autoimmune diseases like lupus. And autoimmune disorders can cause chronic kidney failure when the body's immune system begins to attack its own organs. And then finally, just getting older affects the kidneys negatively. So starting at age 65, older adults lose 10% more of their renal function every 10 years. Another risk factor for developing chronic kidney disease, besides having diabetes or hypertension, is your ethnicity, because African Americans, Asian Americans, and Native Americans are much more likely to develop chronic kidney disease than Caucasians are. So how can we prevent getting chronic kidney disease? We can control the blood glucose levels and the blood pressure, and keep that blood pressure under the recommended 120/80, You want to maintain a healthy weight and don't smoke. Control your diabetes if you have diabetes and decrease your salt intake. Looking at diagnostic and lab tests for chronic kidney disease, one of the first things that they're going to look at is the serum creatinine level. This is an early sign of decreased kidney function, and as it gets worse, that blood creatinine and also the BUN level are going to rise. So anything over 1.3 for a creatinine level is not good for the kidneys. So just think, over 1.3 equals sick kidney. They also will test your BUN levels. Normal BUN, or blood urea nitrogen level, is somewhere between 7 and 20. So if you've got kidney disease, your BUN is going to be higher than 20. They'll look at a urinalysis. The urinalysis will pick up any protein or blood in the urine. I used to work in the medical lab, and we knew if someone gave us a urine sample and it looked foamy, like it had a bunch of bubbles on the top, that they probably had a lot of protein in their urine, which is a sign of kidney problems. Also, if their urine looked like the color of tea or watered down Coca-Cola, then it probably had blood in it. The patient will also need to do a creatinine clearance test. This is when they have the patient do a 24-hour urine test. They're given a giant jug to collect all of their urine in for 24 hours, except for that very first urine. They have to discard that. But after that, they collect all their urine for 24 hours, and then they're going to compare that 24-hour urine sample to the creatinine level in the blood. So they compare the creatinine level in the urine to the creatinine level in the blood to give them the creatinine clearance level. I've already mentioned the GFR, that's glomerular filtration rate. That's one of the main things that's looked at with chronic kidney disease. The GFR shows how much blood can be basically washed by the kidneys each minute. So how much blood is filtered through the kidneys each minute. A normal GFR is more than 90 mL per minute. Anything less than 60 mL per minute means the kidneys aren't working right. And anything less than 60 qualifies as chronic kidney disease. Anything less than 15, we say is end-stage renal disease. That's when they're going to need dialysis and possibly a kidney transplant right away. Some other diagnostic tests that may be done are an ultrasound of the kidneys, a CT scan, and a kidney biopsy. The patient may possibly get an ABG done or an arterial blood gas test to assess for metabolic acidosis. They could have metabolic acidosis because of all the waste products that are building up in the blood. So remember, if you see a pH of less than 7.35 with a bicarbonate level less than 22, that means metabolic acidosis. So pH less than 7.35 and bicarb less than 22. All right. So what are some treatment options that are commonly used to manage chronic kidney disease? If the kidney disease has progressed to stage 4 or stage 5, the patient will most likely be put on dialysis. Dialysis is where patients are hooked up to a machine that does the job of the kidneys. So the machine filters the waste products and the extra fluid out of the blood because the kidneys can't do it themselves. The two main types of dialysis are hemodialysis and peritoneal dialysis. And I'm not going to go too much into dialysis because that could be a whole separate podcast. But hemodialysis is probably the one that you typically think of when you think of dialysis. That's where the patient goes into the dialysis lab about 3 times a week to get the impurities removed from their blood. Peritoneal dialysis is a little different. It can be done from home, and it uses the lining of the abdomen as a filter to remove the waste products from the body. And this can be done daily, which actually helps keep the levels of waste products and electrolytes more consistent. Dialysis is not a long-term solution. Eventually, the patient will need a kidney transplant if they can get it. Sadly, not even half of the patients who need a kidney transplant will get one. The patient with chronic kidney disease will most likely be put on some kind of blood pressure medication to keep their blood pressure down. Usually it'll be an ACE inhibitor or an ARB, an angiotensin receptor blocker, because those two antihypertensives also give some level of protection to the kidneys. Remember I said that the kidneys are responsible for making erythropoietin, the hormone that stimulates the bone marrow to start making new red blood cells. If the kidneys aren't working, then they're not making that erythropoietin. So the doctor will probably prescribe some erythropoietin sub-Q injections for the patient so they can make some more red blood cells, and this will help decrease their anemia. They may also be given iron supplements to combat anemia. The medication K-exalate may be given if the patient has hyperkalemia because the K-exalate binds to the potassium and excretes it through the stool. So if they have hyperkalemia, then they might get K-exalate to lower the potassium levels. So what are some nursing interventions that we'll do for these chronic kidney disease patients? We're going to monitor their vitals. Assessing is our number one job, so we're going to monitor their blood pressure, especially because high blood pressure is hard on the kidneys. We're going to keep their blood sugar in check. A lot of these patients have diabetes, and they're going to have high blood sugar. So you want to keep that blood sugar within normal ranges. You will auscultate the heart and the lung sounds, listening for any abnormal sounds. For the lungs, we're mainly listening for crackles. And if crackles are heard, that can mean the patient has pulmonary edema. If their potassium levels are high, we're going to monitor their EKG with a bedside monitor. And now, what are you looking for on the EKG? What's a big warning sign if they have high potassium? A tall peaked T wave. So if you see a tall peaked T wave on the EKG, then that is an abnormal finding due to them having hyperkalemia. We also want to monitor labs like the GFR. Remember, a GFR less than 60 indicates kidney disease. Less than 15 equals kidney failure. And we also want to monitor for albumin in the urine, which would be termed proteinuria. We'll monitor their eyes and nose, and anything less than 400 mils in a 24-hour period, we would call oliguria. Also, anything less than 100 mils would be anuria. We're going to take daily weights at the same time every morning using the same scale. And remember, 1 kilogram equals 1 liter of fluid. So this will warn us of any fluid volume overload and possibly hypertensive crisis. We may need to restrict their fluids to prevent fluid overload. And if the patient is on dialysis, we need to check that access site to make sure that it's functional. So if they have an AV fistula or an AV graft, we need to make sure that we check that access site to make sure it's clean and that we can feel a thrill when we palpate it and that we can hear a brewy when we auscultate it. So what kind of education do we want to give the patient with chronic kidney disease? We want to teach the patient about the renal diet, which is the diet that they should be following. The renal diet is low in protein, or low to moderate protein, and low in sodium. It's low in protein because the process of breaking down protein makes a lot of nitrogenous waste. We want to make sure that they're not getting too much sodium because that can make them retain even more water. They should also avoid any canned and packaged foods as well as processed meats because those have a lot of extra sodium in them. The renal diet is also low in phosphate, and the patient may be prescribed a phosphate binder to take with their meals. This is a medication that will bind the phosphate in their food and then excrete it in the stool so it doesn't go into their bloodstream. That's called a phosphate binder. We want to teach them to avoid foods that have a lot of potassium in them. So no bananas, spinach, strawberries, avocados, or potatoes. Also, avoid drugs that can cause kidney injury. This seems obvious since the kidneys are already injured, but we don't want them to take any NSAIDs or undergo a procedure that uses a CT contrast dye, no antacids, and we want them to avoid the antibiotics vancomycin and gentamicin since those can both cause kidney injury. All right. Let's do a quick case study to put this information into practice. Mr. Bean is a 56-year-old male with a history of type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and osteoarthritis. He presented to the ED with complaints of pruritus, nausea, and lethargy. The ED nurse found crackles in his lungs and edema in his lower extremities. He's now been admitted to your unit. So what stands out to you about Mr. Bean? Hopefully the diabetes and hypertension stands out to you, since we know those are the two main causes of chronic kidney disease. Pruritus is itchy skin and can be caused by a buildup of urea in the blood. The patient is lethargic, so that could be due to anemia, either because they're losing blood in their urine or they don't have enough red blood cells to carry oxygen because the kidneys aren't making erythropoietin. The nurse heard crackles in his lungs. This tells us he most likely has pulmonary edema caused by excess fluid in the lungs. He's got edema in his lower extremities, so I'm already thinking, does he have protein in his urine? The edema could be due to the loss of albumin, throwing off the oncotic pressure. All right, so what diagnostic tests would you expect the doctor to order on Mr. Bean? So we could probably expect a urinalysis to be done to look for blood and protein in the urine. And I would expect a CMP, or comprehensive metabolic panel, to test for electrolytes, creatinine, BUN, and blood glucose levels. I would also expect a CBC to be done. That's a complete blood count. And that'll look at the numbers of red blood cells and the hemoglobin and hematocrit numbers to check for anemia. We may also see the doctor order an ABG, or arterial blood gas, to test for metabolic acidosis. All right, you guys, that's it for chronic kidney disease. I hope that was helpful to you, and I hope you totally rock your next exam. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next time.